Praise God.
Amen.
It's so wonderful when our hearts are worshiping the Lord. You know, people can be in church and do church and sing just to please their own flesh. And some people can be in church to praise God.
Amen.
And when you're praising God, your heart is connected to Him.
Amen.
And as we all know, He will do something. He will create something new in you. Although your eyes cannot see what He's doing, but we believe He's always at work when we are praising and worshiping Him.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, worship band. It was so wonderful.
Amen.
To draw us in God's presence. Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory and we praise you in this day. We enthrone you as our King forever.
Yes.
We have nowhere else to go. And we have nobody else that we can enthrone upon our lives. Only you who took our place upon the cross. Only you who paid the debt of our sins. Only you who redeemed us. Lord Jesus Christ, here we are. We open our heart and we give you access for you to transform them. For you to do your work in our lives. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By God's grace, we, in the past, spoke about different seasons. And I remember in my last message, mentioned that Christians and Jews are going through a certain season. Some are celebrating Passover. Others are preparing and celebrating Easter. Whichever side one may find himself, Christians were reminding to themselves the love of God manifested in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The greatest price that Jesus paid to redeem us. And today, I won't talk for long because the Lord has a surprise for us. And that surprise is a good friend of mine that I have really the honor to introduce to you, who, after this introduction, he will come forth and do the work of the ministry. And I can assure you he will be a blessing to you, as he has always been a blessing to me. There are some people in life that you meet, not by accident, but by God's plan and purpose. And if you are willing to receive from those people, your life can change forever. I will talk about my friend before he comes forth. But as a reminder to the message he's going to bring to us today, you will remember in the past that I spoke about John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 13, verse 1, that we're going to read in a minute. And John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. All these verses are talking about love. And taking John 21, verse 15 to 17, brought at the surface two Greek words that was used there when Jesus is asking Peter, if indeed Peter loves him. He was using a word, agapao or agape. He used it twice, and the third time he used the word that Peter was using, phileo. Both in Greek are talking about love, but the nuance is not the same. Agapao, which is the love that a son is giving to the father, a divine love, a spiritual love. And phileo, a love, although it's deep, but is not between the son and the father, is between two closest friends. So Jesus asking Peter if he loves him the way a son loves the father, and Peter answering, you know that I love you, but only as a closest friend. The man of God will open it. And from there, we understood that some of us can be loving God just as a friend. And love between friends can break any time. When something goes wrong, that friendship can disappear. He will talk about it as well. But a love between the son and the father, a spiritual love, it's unconditional.
Amen.
You love God because he's your father. End of story.
Yeah.
Whether you cross in the desert, whether everything in your life is flourishing, it doesn't make any change at all. He remains your father and you remain his son or her daughter. Even though you cross in really a dark time, crying, everything in your life is falling apart on you, your world is crumbling, but still you love God as your father, not as a friend. He will open that dimension as well. So, without taking all the time, I'm going to do some reading here, and he will take from there. John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is a very popular verse that every new believer knows. We know it by heart. And we thank God. But today we'll go a little bit deeper. And we'll understand what really this verse means. Because saying God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him will be saved. It seems to be just normal, but it's deeper than normal. He will open that dimension. John chapter 13, verse 1. The day we read this verse, we refer to the Message version. I don't know if someone has the Bible Message in here. No. Yes, Graham, can you read it for us, please? John 13, verse 1. What I was looking for, actually, is the version which says, he loved them up to the highest degree. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. One of the Bible versions is saying that he loved them to the highest degree. There we're talking about the last level of love. No love can go beyond that love. That the love which took Jesus to the cross. He accepted to die willingly. He gave up his life. He gave everything. Although it was really, really difficult, him who lived a life without any sin, but he took on his shoulders all my sins, all your sins. I don't know about your past life, but I know about mine. Mine was not a life of an angel. Although I gave my life to Jesus at the tender age of 17, but in those 17 years, I can count the sins that I was committing. He took all those sins. He took also all your sins. And he got to the point where he prayed to the Father and said, Father, if that is possible, let this cup go away from me. And the prayer did not stop there. He added saying, but not my will, let your will be done. And the will of the Father was to save me and you. So Jesus dwelt by the highest degree of love. He accepted to die for me and to die for you. Reason why a religion cannot save anybody. A prophet, a pastor cannot save anybody. Salvation is only in Jesus Christ. Because he's the one who is the one who paid the price for me and you. No religion took our place on the cross. Only Christ Jesus did it. Well, the other verse is chapter 21. Verse 15 to 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Here it's about agapao. Do you agapao me? Do you love me as a son loves the father? More than this, he said, Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. You know that I love you as a closest friend. That went on for the second time and for the third time. Jesus, I think he gave up. He used the same word, phileo, that, okay, do you love me as a friend? Love his friend and this and that. Peter was saddened. He said, this is the third time. But everything did not stop there. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, Peter became fully restored. Because you're going to hear Jesus telling Peter after the answer Peter was giving, saying, feed my lambs. See, he was going through a process of restoration, restoring Peter who lost his confidence due to the denial that happened before Jesus was hanged on the cross. Although he made a promise before that moment that I'm ready to give everything for you, to lay my life for you, to lay down my life for you. I'm ready to die with you. But when the time came, he denied Jesus three times. All the courage, the strength, the faith, and everything disappeared. He will open that as well. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and Peter was the one who stood among the 120 who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He stepped forth and said, this man that you are accusing of drunkenness, they are not at all drunken. Is the promise which is fulfilled today. That same Jesus you crucified rose. He is the one that God has risen from the dead. And he's the Lord and Master. The same Peter. He was completely restored. The last verse that I want to read with you, and the man of God will take it from there. Of course, he will come around all the other verses, is Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, from verse 34 to 40. Matthew 22, 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet." Amen. To God be the glory. I have such a privilege to introduce to you my dear friend, Shepherd Jaya. He is based in Leicester, but originally from Zimbabwe. You see, good things are coming from Zimbabwe. We've been together at Matesi. He was 1 year below me. And we connected by God's grace. As I was about to say at the beginning, he's one of those people in my life that they are there as a measure of challenge, a challenge in the spiritual way. I have observed the life of Shepherd. By God's grace, he's living a righteous life. When some of the students were messing around, a shepherd was not numbered among them. Today, a temptation of sexual sin can come toward me. If only my spirit remained to me the kind of righteous life shepherd is living in that particular area, I will say to myself, he's a human being like me. By God's strength, he's overcoming all those temptations. Then I can. Amen. Because it's the same spirit operating in him and is operating in me. He has such self-discipline. He doesn't allow himself to watch things that can bring emptiness in his heart. And I think I have to exercise myself a lot to catch up with him in that area. Well, Shepherd, we welcome you in our family. We are so glad that you are in the midst of us. So, as always, be yourself and bring to us what the Lord has put in your heart. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. It's such an honor and such a privilege to be invited here. I think I was just visiting Pastor Dharma and visiting another church where I was sharing today. And Pastor Dharma just happened to say, "Oh, I'm sharing today. Can you come with me?" And I said, "All right, I'll come with you, Pastor Dharma." And it's just been so great, really, being with Dharma, seeing all the ministry that is his passion, you know, the passion about the things that he wants to do. And sometimes it's not easy, but God is always able. And God is, with God, everything is possible. Nothing is impossible. And the work that is, what God has put on his heart, if only he can share half of it with you here today or any other time, then you would know that the work that he wants to do in Africa is just so much. It's just so much for him on his burden right now. Everything he does, every time that you talk to him, he just happened to mention that he's almost like, he's here, but he's in Africa at the same time. And I get so much encouragement to that. I'm ever encouraged and I'm ever challenged to sort of like want to also go on mission, do some sort of mission. Even here back home, he's talking of mission as well. He's talking of mission here in England. And I'm thinking, all right, we need to get together at some point and establish something that will challenge these communities of ours that children are simply going on the wayside, and we can do it. If they can do it elsewhere, we can do it even in Doncaster. We can do it even here in the city. It's quite possible. It's not impossible, because one thing that discourages people is that they think it's impossible. But then the word says nothing is impossible with God. With men, yes, it's impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. Yes. Amen. Can I just have a prayer before we start? I just pray a little bit. Heavenly Lord, we thank you for the day that you've made, and we will rejoice in it and be glad in it, because it is you, Lord, that knew before time that today we will sit here and we will share your word. We didn't know that. We didn't even know that. But you knew that, Lord. So it's not by chance, Lord. So at this moment, Lord, as we pray, Lord, may you, O Lord, increase so that I decrease, Lord. Lord, I thank you and glorify you for this opportunity that you have given us to share together your word. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. A Bible reading, Pastor Dharma has already read Matthew 22. Verses 34 to 40, he's already read that, and I want to read it again. And it goes as, hearing that Jesus is silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And of course, you would know that Jesus was quoting from Leviticus 19, verse 18, and he was also quoting from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. These are the scriptures he was quoting from. But today, what I want to do today is, like Pastor Dharma has already said, I'm looking really at, it's a powerful verse, it's a powerful piece of scripture. But today, there's only one word that we're going to look at. Because to go with all the words, I would like to look at love. I would like to look at heart. I would like to love to look at your soul, your mind. I would like to look at all that. But today, we'll only focus on what love is. I don't know what goes through your mind when you think about the word love. What naturally comes to mind? What does the word love actually mean? What does it mean to us, the word love? What does it mean? And of course, we live in a 21st century. And the 21st century approach to love, all our values and the way we think about love is centered upon the 21st century. And the 21st century concept is all if I might say, driven from a Greek-Roman philosophy. This is what we have inherited today. This is what our civilization has inherited. We have inherited a Greco-Roman concept of love. That's what love actually means to us. So to help me define what love is, I'll take authority from the Oxford Dictionary. And the Oxford Dictionary defines love as a strong feeling of deep affection for something, especially a member of your family or a friend. That's what it defines love as. And the second definition that I got from there was a strong feeling of affection for something that you're sexually attracted to. That is the second definition I got from the Oxford Dictionary. And the third definition I got was the strong feeling of enjoyment that something gives you. It's a strong feeling of enjoyment that something gives you. And as I was going through this, as I was preparing this sermon, it really touched me, because I thought I knew what love is. Don't we all know what love is? We do know what love is, or we claim to know what love is. But what really touched me is looking at the word again. I know there is a Greek way of looking at things, but today we do things slightly different from how we normally do them. Because reading from what I've seen, I'll start with the third definition that I'll look, the strong feeling of enjoyment that something gives you. And what does that really mean? It means love is based on something. It's based on enjoyment. If you don't enjoy, then you can't love. That's what it's saying to us. You don't enjoy something. I was given an illustration that if I say I love ice cream, what does that actually mean to say I love ice cream? Do I love it? Yeah, I love it because I want to eat it. That's what it means when I say I love ice cream. That's what it actually means. I love ice cream. I want to eat ice cream. So it's dependent on something. That actually depends on something. They say, I love ice cream. I love chocolate. It's because something, I get something out of it. If I didn't get anything out of it, I wouldn't love it. So that's what love means in this 21st century. People love something for a reason. It is conditioned, it is conditional on something, and if that condition is not met, then we don't love it. It can happen in relationships, it can even happen in marriages. Any form of relationship where love is involved, someone can say, I love you because you encourage me. So what happens if that encouragement goes away? Then you stop loving me? This is what we faced with in this 21st century. Because it's all driven from the Greco-Roman Empire. And the Greco-Roman Empire is where we get liberalism. That's where everything liberal comes from. It comes from that age, and we are sort of like in a fantasy with it, because it's never really left us. It's always have dogged us throughout the centuries. It's always follows us. So when we say we love, what do we actually mean? Surely can't mean that, because it's the second definition that we looked at was a strong feeling of affection for something that you are sexually attracted to. Surely we can't be that low to think that, all right, it's all to do with sex. If sex is not involved, then there's no love. But these are the definitions that we're getting from the highest of authorities. This is from the Oxford Dictionary. If anyone wanted to know what love means, they would take the dictionary and they would get this word. And the first one that we looked at was a strong feeling of deep affection. And affection involves caring. Affection involves liking. And already it falls short again. The word falls short again, because yes, I might care about something, yes, I might like something, but it actually doesn't define what love is. All that, when I looked at that, I was deeply disturbed to think, all right, this is what I thought love is. This is what I've been brought up to know what love is. But it somehow falls short. And then I began to study to look at what it actually meant when Jesus said these words. And to find that Jesus is saying, love the Lord your God. Is it conditional, as we've just seen? Do we love Him because He's good to us? Why do we love God? Why do we actually love God? And I found out that, all right, this is a challenge. And then I was looking now, like I've said, that Jesus was simply quoting from Leviticus 19, verse 18. And Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, where Moses says to the people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul." That's when he quotes it from. And I looked at the word love that is used there in the Hebrew. So today we're looking more at what love means in Hebrew. I think it's a quicker way of understanding what Jesus was saying, because the context he was writing in was in a Hebrew context. It was in a Jewish, Jesus was Jewish, and he was talking to those people who were close to him who were Jewish at that point. So if they said love, although they said agape, like what Pastor Dama said now, or they use other words that mean love, the people would understand what it means. They would understand what, because it's in their context, although it's in Greek to mean those other words, they would understand what it actually means. And then I found out the word that is used in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus for love is Ava. It's a Hebrew word. It's A-H-A-V-A, Ava. That is the name for love in Hebrew. And that word means, and it's from a root word actually. The root word of the word is Ava, is I give. Love means I give. So that really changed my perception of what I thought is love, because love was centered on me, 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 me. I love, I love, I love, meaning I want to get satisfied. Everything that has to focus on me. I love ice cream because I want to eat it. My taste bud will go crazy when I start eating it. I will go hyper. This is just me, 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 me. So now it was focusing more on me. So now I said, all right, it means I give. So what is he saying now, that you shall love? So you shall love the Lord. That means give yourself to the Lord. This is what it means. Give yourself to the Lord. Then that's what it means when you say you love. If you're married today, know this today, that when you say you love means you give yourself to your wife. You give yourself to your husband. That's what it actually means. It means, I give. That's what the word Ava means. It means, I give. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave his only son. That's what love means. That's what love costs. And in the Hebrew, like I've said, love is readiness to give. Real love should really be defined as readiness to give. Remember Abraham, he was asked to give his son. God says, all right, you love me, Abraham. Give me your son. Give me your son. That's what love is. Love requires sacrifice. Are you sacrificing in your relationship? What are you sacrificing to God? It's not we come to church to get everything, but it's more like, what can I give? What can I give to God? That's our mindset should be really be changed to think, what can I give to God? We need to give to God, not to take from God. Yes, we receive almost everything that we want from God. But honestly, if we understand love meaning to mean I give, it means to give. That's how the word can be translated again. You can translate it either two ways, to give or I give. So we need to give. We need to start thinking about giving. We need to think, to start thinking of a way that is different from this moment that we're living in the 21st century, where everything is based on selfishness. Everything is just based on that. It's based on I. Everything is just me. I love her because she stimulates me. She gives me, encourages me. So all those qualities, when they go, all those qualities that we think we like, when they go away, then what? What are we left with? When all those things are gone, we're left with nothing. Yes, I can love her because she's beautiful. What if someone who's more beautiful comes? What happens? Do we leave that person? Yes, I love him because he's handsome. When someone comes around who's more handsome, do we leave that person? True love should really be readiness to give. At any given point, we should be ready to give. Because that's what it means. And like Pastor Dama has already spoken about Peter and Jesus asking him, Simon Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, I love you. And he asks him again, Simon Peter, do you love me? He asks him the third time, do you love me? And he hurt him so much because he knew he denied Christ. He said, Lord, I love you before. He said, Lord, I'll give myself to you, even to the point of death. That's what Peter said. Even to the point of death, I give myself to you. And yet when the time came, when the testing time came, he said, he withered away. He was afraid. He couldn't give himself. So love means giving. He was meant to give himself to give himself for Christ. They asked him, are you not the one who are with him? We've seen, surely we've seen you with him. And he said, no, that's not me. He refused. He refused to give himself. So when Jesus was asking, he actually knew that, all right, love means to give. And I didn't give myself. I didn't. That's why it hurt him so much. He knew what it means. When Jesus was saying love, he was saying, Simon Peter, do you give yourself to me? Simon Peter, do you give yourself to me? Do you give yourself to me? And today, even in this church, God will ask us, do you give yourself to me? And what do we say? We say, oh Lord, only when things are all right, that's when we give ourselves to you. Sometimes it can be like that. It can feel like that because it is the way we are brought up. It's the way that this postmodern society that we live in understands love to mean. I mean, I took it from the highest authority to look at Oxford. Yes, they are the leading in dictionaries. That's how we define it now. That's if you go out there and you ask the people what it means, people will come up with many definitions, but nobody will actually tell you that it means to give. The biblical culture means to give. We need to give to God. We need to completely have some sort of paradigm shift from what we understood love to mean. Because if whatever we understood about love doesn't involve giving, it ain't love. It ain't love at all. Whatever it meant for us, if it didn't involve giving. Love involves giving up space. You need to give, even in relationships, we need to give up space. If we do not give up space, we do not allow others to grow, we are incapable of loving. We are incapable of loving God and to love anyone for that matter. Because we are only thinking about ourselves. We are only thinking about our needs. Because if you think of only your needs and only the things that concern you, you have no room to think about anyone else because everything has to be me. You put yourself, you're setting yourself into a selfish world. So we need to learn to give. That's what the word of God says. That's what love actually means. Love is about sacrifice. I repeat again about what Abraham did. Abraham gave his son. He was prepared. He was ready. He was ready to sacrifice his son. ready, and God did it. He sacrificed His Son for us. He did it for us. And what does He want in return? He wants us to do it for Him. And then He says, it's the same. You see what He says here? He says, love your neighbor as yourself. What do we give to ourselves? What do we encompass ourselves? Imagine what everything that you encompass for yourself, everything that you want for yourself, giving to another. Can we give to another everything that we want ourselves? Everything that you think you like, everything that you feel like liking, and giving it to someone else. I think everything you love, give everything that you have as yourself. What you love, give that. It's difficult because of space and time where we live. Going back again to the Greco-Roman Empire, we've simply adapted everything that came with them. Everything that came with them. And the word love can have a detrimental effect in our lives if we don't know what it actually means. Detrimental effect in our lives, because it's at the center of everything we do. It's in the center of family, center of how we relate to everyone. Ask yourself the question, if you claim to love anyone here, ask yourself the question, what have I actually given to them? It's not like, what did I get from them? More like, what did I give to them? What am I going to give to them? It's what we should be doing now, is to think, alright, what am I going to give to them? Not what am I... Anywhere you go, workplaces, everything, it's not about what am I going to get. Oh, I want this. We want to take away that I want, me thing. Focusing, projecting everything on you. And project everything on your neighbor, on everyone now, to say, what am I going to give them? Let's learn to give to others. And if we show that kind of love to everyone, even in this city, people, once you start giving, you don't have to give financially. You don't have to give your possessions. Even to give up time to talk to someone, to listen to them, they will be touched. They will ask you, how can you do that? How can you sacrifice your time just to speak to me? Even if it's five minutes, you see, there's a time in Leicester, I come from Leicester, where there was an issue of people who are homeless, who stay in hostels. And at one point, they have a habit, I think it's a bad habit anyway, yes, they'll beg, but what you give them, they'll normally just go and buy drugs with it. So it became such an issue that part of our church who were involved in the ministry, we should be owning that, please try not to give them. Because if you give them, that's what it means. Instead, take them for a coffee. Talk to them. And I remember taking one of them, he was named John. Took John, had coffee with him. And he couldn't stop crying. Nobody had ever gave him 5 minutes to talk to him. He couldn't stop crying, just giving up time. It was only 5 minutes that I sat with him. And he couldn't stop crying, and he wanted to know more and more and more and more and more, and even invited him to church later, and he came to church. Because he was so touched that nobody actually gives up anything. So mainly people want all the time in the world for themselves. That's what we do. That's what we human beings are good at, because we want to encompass, because we want to satisfy our bodies. Our body is always about getting everything. It's never satisfied. But our spirit, which is the spirit of God, says, we are brothers and sisters. We are all one. Humanity is all one. We see Christ. That's what Christ did. If Christ would have said, oh no, I can't die for murderers. I really can't. Yes, for someone who's maybe who's done something which is less of a sin than murder or rapist, or how can I forgive rapists? I can't, dear Lord, I can't really die for rapists. Christ had no choice. He gave himself. God sacrificed his own son. He gave his own son to the world. Let us be prepared to give. Any given day, every day that we wake up, let us be prepared to give. That's what love really means. Ava, to give. And surprisingly, for those who are married today, it's another surprised word, because marriage and love are more of a similar, they're almost entwined together. And I was looking out now for the word marriage in Hebrew, and I couldn't find it, because there's no word for marriage in Hebrew. In Hebrew, to say marriage, it actually means to carry. When you say you are married, it means to carry. Caring is, I'm holding this mic today, I'm carrying it. That means that it's, when I'm carrying this now, it's 100%. It's never 50-50. And I looked up in the dictionary again, the definition of marriage, some said it's a contract. One definition is a contract. So a contract can be breached any minute. Any second something goes wrong, it can be breached. So if you are carrying your wife, that means sometimes you can do the dishes and collect the kids and hoover the house. 100%, no 40-50 or no 60-50. It's 100%. 100%, you have to do it 100%. It's carrying something. When you carry something on your back, they're not helping you to carry them. You're, like I'm holding now, this mic is not helping me anyway to carry it. I'm just carrying it 100%. So it's to carry. So love and marriage are almost the same kind of words. It's all about giving. It's all about giving. So when you're married, just know that when you do things you're doing for your other half, you're just doing it, you're carrying them. Keep on caring. And sometimes they'll carry you. It doesn't mean that, all right, you do the dishes and I'll over the house. Yes, you can do that. You can come to some sort of arrangement. But don't cry that, all right, I've done everything, because you're carrying someone. How do you expect them how do I expect this mic that I'm holding now to help me carry it? It can't happen. If I step on a step, it will take all my weight, because it's carrying me. It will take all my weight. I don't help it in any way. So that's the other word that fascinated me, to think that we think we know it all. Actually, we know about love. Oh, love, we know. Everyone is an expert. Everyone knows what love is. Everyone seems to be an expert in it. But if we just took time to know what actually God means when he says he loves us. God says he loves us. That means God gives himself to us. Can you imagine that? God giving himself to you. And he did that in Christ. He gave his son, his only begotten son. He gave him up. How can you retain this kind of love? How can we retain it? Let's give ourselves to him. Let's continue to give ourselves. Let's give ourselves, gentlemen. Let's give ourselves, brothers and sisters. For Christ gave himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. How powerful is that? When you can now know what it means, how you're going to devote your time. Every day, you see, every day, you have an opportunity. every single day. Every single day when we wake up, when we get up, we have an opportunity to give. An opportunity not to receive. Yes, receiving is good. Don't doubt me, receiving is good, but giving is better. Christ could have got all the world, everything in the world. Remember, the devil said to him, I'll give you everything. Everything in the world. And then he refused it. And yet chose to give himself. That's what we're faced with. That's what we're challenged with. And I just want to close now with a summary of what we just said. And love, like I've said, is not the strong feeling of enjoyment that something gives you. That's not love. Love is giving. Love is not a strong feeling of affection for something that you are sexually attracted to. No, that's not love. But that's what this world thinks, you know. That's what they think love all means. But that's not love. That's not love at all. Love is not a strong feeling that you feel for a member of your family or friend. Yes, that feeling, like we looked at the word affection, because I looked it up, and affection also is referred as caring, liking. That's what it means. That's what the Oxford Dictionary actually says: love, a strong feeling of deep affection for something, especially a member of your family or a friend. And I looked the word affection because I thought, all right, what does affection mean? Affection simply means caring or liking. That's what the Oxford Dictionary said again. And that's not what love is. Biblically, that's not what it is. Biblically, it's to I give. Let us give. Let us give. From today onwards, I challenge you that every single day that you wake up, think of what you can do to give. Think of what you can do to give. Even in relationships, just think about it. Think about what can I give. Yes, receiving, you receive. And once you start giving, it's contagious. It's really contagious. You start giving your wife, you start giving whoever you're giving, they'll give you in return. It's very, very contagious. Love giving. Thank you very much for being with me. Amen.
We have to seize this opportunity when the presence of God is there. We know that whenever the Lord is sending us a word, it's for a purpose. We are in a journey. The Lord is taking us somewhere as a church and as a family. And our family, our church, is based on love. So we have to take this anointing of love. If Bishop, please, if you can come. Rest, please come as well. In this family, you are like our parent, and we want to seize this moment to do something special. Although all of us, we're going to dedicate ourselves to the Lord in this new perspective of giving fully ourselves to the Lord, but I want you to conduct us in a dimension. Those who are married or in relationship, if a special prayer can be done for them so that things can change from the Oxford Dictionary to the biblical way of loving each other in a relationship and in marriage. And the last prayer that I would please ask you to do for us, all as a body, as a family, the church, to step into that dimension of loving each other in this new light, of giving 100% and carrying one another 100%. We've been trying, we've been doing that, but there is something special now through this word to take us to the next step.
Stay here. Hallelujah. God is good to us, isn't he? we serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. Some of us have gone through a difficult relationship, some of us are going through them, but God is in control in every circumstance and situation. The first thing that we need to do is to, as being said, give to God. It's about you giving yourself to God. And you know that on that subject of where Peter is asked three times, Jesus realizes that Peter is struggling. You might be struggling. He's not able to reach to that level where God wants him to be, where Jesus wants him to be. So Jesus changes the question slightly, the third question, and says, can you really love me as a friend? And he reaches down to him. He comes down to his level, and he lifts Peter up. Amen. Knowing that Peter will fall, knowing Peter will fail. But you know, the word tells us that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. And underneath you and underneath me are the arms of Jesus. And the only thing that he's looking for you and I to begin to start to do is to start to do the right things. Amen. That might be just the first step that we have to do. We have to start to do the right things. And that might be just putting one foot in front of the other. It's making that forward step. It's turning. To turn things around, you need to turn around yourself. And as you turn around from that situation, say, I am going God's way. We as a church practically give. We do work with Teen Challenge and street people, and you know, many of you pray for us, and that's great. But we need to press on further. And we need to press through in our own relationships, and as has been said, with our relationships with one another. It's about our family that gives. Giving to one another the love and the power of God. Giving to one another the grace and the mercy of God. And you know, giving of yourselves. And I just want to, just before we pray, I just want to say to you that the next couple of weeks, Grace and I are going to be away in the States. I just want to encourage you, when you come, come to give. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about you bringing something from God that God has given to you. You bring it and you give. Try and be here on time. Support that. Support this good leadership that we have. Support the men and women of God. You know, they're standing in the gap. They're standing here for you to be an encouragement, to strengthen you. This is a family. We love you. We love each other. Occasionally, I may have to take my belt off. I may have to wield a stick. I may have to wield the sword of the Spirit. But I need to do it in love and mercy. I love you. And I want to see the mercy of God come upon you. And I do it because I see that at times we're out of line. You're out of line. And you need to come back in line so that you will see the blessings and the power of God working in your life. And if you're not seeing them, it's because you're out of line. You need to come back into line. And families need to be back in line. They need to be back in line with each other. They need to be back in line in relationships. Relationships are so important. It's not about whether you agree all the time, but it's about loving one another. And Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. The greatest commandment. Because if you will love one another in spite of, it doesn't say like them, that's different. It says love them. There are people you don't like, but you cannot not love them. That's totally different. It's the Roman way, liking. It's what you've been saying. It's that sensual, physical desires. But God is saying in his word, you love them. Let's just stand. I know the children are out at the moment, and it would be good if they are they due back in, I wonder. Would you like to just check for me, Graham, please? Thank you. Be good to have families together. And we pray for families together as a whole. And then pray for each of us as a family in the Lord. It's good to be in a family, isn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you glad you're in this family?
Amen.
Well.
I'd just like to say that I thank God for the family here, because if there's a family that understands giving, this family does, and I thank God for that. And I thank you for your word this afternoon, Shepherd, because, and Dharma, because you've opened your eyes to actually what's at work, and I just want us to, it's made me more aware of what we're doing as a spiritual principle, and I just want us to go deeper into that. I want us to take that next level. Amen.
Praise God. Okay. Hi, children. You okay? You had a good time? Good. Great. You learned something? Did somebody say no? All right. You had a great time then, did you? Good. A God time, did you? Good. Right. I want families, boys and girls, go to your mums and dads, please. Thank you. Find them out. Seek them out. If you haven't got one, if your mum and dad's not here, boys and girls, listen to me, if your mum and dad's not here, go to somebody who you really like. An adult, I mean, not... This is how you find out now, ain't it, eh? Very clever, yeah. Go to somebody you really like, a family that you're happy with and that you like being around. That's good. Find your mummy. Find your mummy. Take your mummy's hand a minute. That's it. Lovely. Get to your family. Okay. We're going to pray for families. Just families hold hands together and just let's come before the Lord. This is good time. Well, it is your mum and dad. Your mother did give birth to you, you know. I mean, you can come here if you want. Your uncle will give you a right good slapping. Not so sure now, are you? You're going to stay there. Praise God forever. The word does encourage us to press forward and move together in the things of God. That's it. Get your sister's hand. Oh, he's going for another one. He's going for Paige. Bless him. Right. Everybody just holding hands with one another in the family. Praise God. Father, we just thank you right now that you ordained families. And Father, you said that we were to go into all the world. And Father, you said to Adam and Eve to go forth and multiply, to have a family. And that Jesus, when the first miracle recorded by you was at a wedding, where you blessed that relationship. And you encourage that relationship, Lord Jesus. You're about reconciliation. You're about joining together. You're about expansion. You're about building. You're about excellence. And Father, I pray right now over every family that, Lord, you will establish them. You will establish them in the faith. You will strengthen them in their faith. And Father, even in their own family circumstances and situations, there will be signs, there will be wonders, and there will be miracles. And Father, that there shall be financial blessings, even in these days of want, that Lord, you will bless them. You will bless them, Father, spiritually first. And Father, you will show them how to handle things of the finance in the future. And Father, you will cause them, Lord, to know, Lord, your hand upon them. Father, give them the ability and give them the strength to walk in that right way that you have set before them in that pathway, O God. And so, Lord, as leaders, we send out, Lord, that anointing. We send out, Father, that guidance, Lord, to them, Lord, to strengthen them, to uphold them. And that, Father, they shall know the precious anointing. Father, we pray a spiritual of excellence upon the children of every family represented here this day. That, Lord, your spirit would rise in these children, and Father, they would be men and women of great integrity, Father, and of great anointing. And Father, they would know that your hand is upon them day by day. We just cover them with the precious blood of Jesus. We cover them and we charge their angels to be watchful over them and to protect them and to guard them and to keep them safe from the wiles of the devil, from the ways of the world, Father, from the loopholes that the enemy would seek to drag them into. And Father, Lord, then let them walk in righteousness and truth. Lord, let them walk in integrity, Lord. Let them walk, Lord, as a light in this dark world. And let them know the power and the authority of your word moving and working through their lives. And thank you, Father, that we can give you the praise and all the glory. We pray, O God, for this family, this body that, Lord, you have brought together. Father, we pray you will make us one. Lord, as the disciples were together in one accord, Father, draw us to that picture of one accord. And Father, pour out your anointing. Pour out your Holy Spirit. And Father, let there be signs and wonders and miracles. Father, let there be, Lord, an increase of your anointing in this body. We ask it, Father, to give you the praise and to give Jesus all the glory, that he might be lifted up and magnified. Amen.
Father, I pray that you will make us a giving people. Lord, we will first of all give ourselves completely to you. And that, Father, secondly, we will give ourselves to our partners and to every member of our families and to every member of the fellowship, Father. I pray that it will be built into our very fabric, Father, that this word will go deep into our spirits and we will never forget it, that we're here to give.
Amen. Amen. You know, let that word sit in your spirit. You've come to give. And it's not about money. It's giving of yourself. And as you give of yourself, God will give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And we're not talking about money. So many people often talk about money, but it's about yourself. You are worth more than gold. If we were to weigh some of you, the gold that they give us ain't worth anything. To, compared with what you are worth. Every one of you, you are worth more as you are now than the measure of gold. Praise God. Hallelujah. You are special. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation unto God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the word. It's been an encouragement to us. It's been a blessing. You know, get the CD, see Bill. And if you've got a computer, Bill will send it you. It's quite easy for you to get it. Thank you, boys and girls. Praise God. They've had enough already. It's got to be more exciting in the back, is it? All right. Praise the Lord. Is God good?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You're going to come to next week with your anointing oil, coming to give and to be encouraged to bless others. Seek God this week. Guess what? If you ask him, he'll talk to you. Don't wait for the leaders. Ask God for yourself. And if you're not sure, come and check it out with leaders. That's all right. That's fine. So start to seek God. Start to hear his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Bah. Bah. Can you do that? Bah. 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 Well done. One or two of you can. Learn to hear the voice of Jesus. Can you do that, John? Bah. Huh? Well, it's not what we think, it's what we know. Hallelujah. I didn't say that. Praise God. We love you. It's great to be in his family together, praising God. Amen. Over to you, Philip.
Hallelujah. Well, it is our time to give. Hallelujah. So as you prepare your offering, you can pray over it before you give it me. You decide where it's going and what return you want. You know that our giving still blesses Ron Cody in America, who's still causing havoc where he lives, in a good way. And we also support Team Challenge on a monthly basis.